Hi, I'm Rick Mills, host of AheadOfTheHerd.com. Under the spotlight today is Dolly Varden Silver. Dolly Varden trades on the TSX Venture under the symbol DV and on the OTC as DOLLF. On today's program, I'm speaking with Dolly Varden Silver CEO, John Kuhn. As a bit of background, Dolly Silver properties consist of two past silver producing deposits. They became part of British Columbia's mining lore, featuring assays as high as 2,200 ounces. Historical production of 20 million ounces of silver was between 1919 and 1959. In fact, Dolly Varden's North Star Silver Mine was among the richest silver mines in the British Empire, producing 1.3 million ounces at an average grade of 1,109 grams a ton silver between 1919 and 1921. Hi, Sean. Sean, you managed to take Dolly Varden from a 20 million market cap to a $100 million market cap with 20 million in the treasury. You have an interesting background. So tell us about your qualifications and how you came to be involved with Dolly Varden Silver.
Okay, Rick, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to put a spotlight on Dolly Varden. And, you know, thanks for having me on. So my background, this is year 17 for me, being active in the junior mining sector. I got my start back in the early 2000s. Gold price was around $300 and something an ounce. I was part of a team that got behind a gold project in Manitoba, and we took the company from inception. We drove it up to about a $1.4 billion valuation, raising $500 million along the way and taking the mine into production. We were producing about 80,000 ounces a year. So that I kind of got hooked on the space, you know, watching gold go from 300 to 2,000, and there was a lot of excitement in 2009, 10, and 11, and I never left the space. And I came across Dolly during the bear market, and one of the things I learned from the run in the 2000s was, and then also studying history, was that when gold goes, you know, silver outperforms. And I wanted to get my hands on a special silver situation for this next bull market, and that's what led me to Dolly Varden.
The share structure is very interesting and unique. Can you tell us who the shareholders are and the percentage of shares they own?
So one of the ways we transformed the company was by getting some big backing. So, you know, one of the first things I did when I took over Dolly last February, I came on as CEO February 18th, 2020. I approached renowned investor Eric Sprott to get behind the company. I shared with him my vision for the company, and he came in and he took a 19-9 stake. So Eric Sprott is our largest shareholder. Our second largest shareholder is Hecla Mining. Hecla's been producing precious metals for over 100 years and are experts in this type of deposit. And they've got a project that's analogous just up in Alaska, Greens Creek. So you've got Eric, you've got Hecla, and then you've got some notable precious metals institutions, institutional investors that make up about 50% of the stock. So between Eric, Hecla, and the institutional investors like U.S. Global and Sprott Asset Management, you've got about 85% of the stock. You know, management's got a few percentage points. So of the 130 million shares we've got issued, say 87% are in the hands of aligned parties, big block shareholders. And so it's pretty good structure.
What you'd call a tight share structure for sure. Now, you know, just to get into a little bit of lore here, Hecla is an interesting shareholder. Did they not try a hostile takeover a while back?
So Hecla had the same idea that I had when I was looking at Dolly Varden. You know, during the bear market, they took a run at the company, and ever since, not only have been a shareholder and have been investing, like they put about $2.5 million into the company last year, which represented about 10% of what we raised last year. But they, in addition to being a shareholder, they've actually got a piece of ground to the east. One would say that they kind of engulf our project. They've got a big piece of ground called Kinskuch, and they've got some significant silver endowment what we have here, Rick, is we've got a district, okay? So we're sandwiched in between Hecla and Fury. Fury, which trades under symbol F-U-R-Y, which has got a very strong management team, a robust treasury. They've got 1 million ounces of gold, 18 million ounces of silver. Then you've got our project with our 44 million ounces of high-grade silver. And then you've got Hecla. So really, you know, zooming out, you've got a mining district here that's got high-grade endowment. You've got great infrastructure. So, you know, my thinking here on Hecla is they took a run at Dolly back in 2016, failed takeover attempt. Subsequently, they've been actively exploring right along our border, and they've been investing in the company. They've also got a representative on the board, and they are part of our technical advisory committee that has one of their representatives part of it.
Powerful stuff. So situate the Dolly Varden project in the southern end of the Golden Triangle. Now, where exactly is it in relation to other well-known mines like Eskay Creek? And how much historical exploration has been done on the project?
Okay, so yeah, so you know, Eskay is probably, you know, the one more famous historic mines in the area. If you start up at Eskay Creek and then you go a little further south, you've got the most famous recent mine in the area, which is Brucejack, which is Pretium. And then you go a little further south, and then you've got the Ascot Premier Mine, which is going back into production. And then just south of the town of Stewart is where you find Dolly Varden. And so we're right on a port there in Alice Arm. So you've got tremendous access. You know, we can barge up equipment. We've got a road that comes right in from Terrace. And then if you go to Alice Arm, we've got a road that goes right onto our property. And historically, you know, when production did occur at the Torbert mine in the 50s and at the Dolly mine in the 20s, there was a rail line that took the ore from the deposits right down to that port.
Well, isn't it true that a key part of your exploration thesis is the fact that the rocks hosting the mineralization on your property are the same age as some of the other large deposits found in the Golden Triangle, including the just mentioned Eskay Creek?
There's a lot of similarities to Eskay. But what we've discovered, we had a breakthrough moment this season where we've got this Eskay Creek-style mineralization on our silver belt, but just going to the west, we're into a gold zone, okay? And that gold zone is actually coming over from Homestake Ridge, from Fury's ground, and we're seeing some similarities to the Premier Mine. And one of the benefits, like in addition to myself joining the company in February of last year, I brought along with me a team of scientists, including Rob McLeod, who's come on as a director. And so Rob's got a team that includes Jody Gibson, Ryan Waymark. These are a team of mining engineers and exploration geologists that have worked on a lot of the different projects up and down the Golden Triangle. So, you know, we've got this team that knows how to unlock value in these types of rocks.
Yeah, the Torbert mine is a real genuine target. I mean, in 1956, the Torbert mine was the third largest silver producer in Canada. It output 18 million ounces at 466 grams a ton silver. Plus, it had base metal credits, and that was between 49 and 59. And at 59, when the mine closed, you had a large part of the Torbert deposit was left intact because silver prices actually fell by quite a margin. So the Torbert is actually a very high-quality exploration target to define more ounces, expand that resource, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, the one thing that attracted me to Dolly Varden is, in addition to the grade, you know, the company has hit these 40, 50, and 60-meter wide intercepts. We had one in the 2020 season, was about 45 meters of 300 gram per ton. But historically, there's been hits up in the 400 gram per ton range of over 60 meters. So what you have there is, what struck me is when I went up to site for the first time and they laid out the core, you would have table after table after table where you're still in the mineralization. wide ore body, what's amenable to bulk mining methods. And so not only is it rich, but it's just it's a big juicy ore body. But at 85 cents an ounce of silver in 1959, it wasn't economic. But you know, you fast forward to current silver prices, we're making those high level analyses on what this would look like if we took the 44 million ounces of silver into production, 4 million ounces a year. That's a 10-year mine life, and then we've got the engineers and the exploration geologists looking at, you know, how much more can we grow and expand Torbrit? We had a successful campaign in 2020 where we stepped out outside of the known resource, and we're making step-out extensions. And so we're designing a program this year where 50% of the focus is going to be at growing Torbrit. And then the other 50% is to find a new Torbrit and to also grow some of the other mines in the portfolio, like Wolf and some of these other new discoveries like Ace Galena and Chance.
You've got 4.5 kilometers of Hazelton Rocks to find another Torbrit, and that's pretty good odds.
Well, what I like about Dolly Varden, you know, looking at it through the lens of an investor, is you've got this cornerstone resource. Okay, so you've got this fundamental, you know, you've got this backstop of value where you've got this 50 million ounces of high grade that's underpinning a value on an enterprise value per ounce. You've got tremendous growth. Every season the company's adding. We've had 2 seasons since the resource where the company's made discoveries, and those, we haven't recalculated the resource. So you've got the 50 million ounces, but you've got a path to maybe 2 or 3 times that on the property. But what we've also done is we hit this gold belt where, in addition to finding anomalous gold, we're actually seeing some pretty high-grade copper hits as well. And if you go back to Eskay Creek, Eskay started as a high-grade silver discovery. You know, 200 million ounces were produced at Eskay at over 2,000 gram per ton silver. But the real prize at Eskay was the gold. And so there's no doubt that we're onto a very, very high-grade silver system. We know the metallurgy works in addition to the metallurgical tests that were done in 2019, all modern tests. The fact that production occurred on the property, we know you can separate the metals from the rock. But I think the real prize on the Dolly here, in addition to more silver, is a big gold system. It's a very, very prospective property. And then, not to get to hone in too much on the geology here, but you've also got not just one, but a whole trend of porphyries. When you look at like the recent deal in the Triangle where Newmont took out GT Gold for almost $500 million in cash, $450 million in cash, we've got these porphyries. And you know, we've also got some hits on them, like high grade gold hits, high grade copper hits. So that, you know, I think, again, going back to Hecla, you know, that's what's attracting some of these big miners is the prospectivity. But in addition to just prospectivity, you've got past production and you've got modern resources. And furthermore, on the resource side, you know, some of the resource estimate was relying on drilling from the 1960s. And so one of the things that I wanted to do when I came in is I wanted to validate and modernize with a 2020 drill hole. And what we found when we drilled into Torbrit, because not all the holes were step out expansion holes, we did do some confirmation drilling. And what we're finding in that confirmation drilling is the grade is higher than the resource stated. And so, you know, it's not only is it giving us 2020 confidence, modern confidence, but it's also telling us that maybe in some areas the resource may be understated.
It's interesting. I mean, I looked at the other exploration plays and hits that you've had and results, but I've always thought that your Dolly Varden Silver is one of the few pure play silver projects in the world. And I mean, that's what it is right now. That might change like Eskay did in the future. But right now it is a pure play silver project, and there's not a lot of them in the world. Can you expand on that a little bit and why maybe it's shareholders would want to know?
absolutely. So not only is it a pure play, so if you looked at, you know, these different brokerage firms put up these tables of number of ounces and grade, and they list, so Dolly's all, you're always going to find Dolly in the top 10 for silver projects. But, you know, the one thing, Rick, that sets Dolly apart from the peers is we report silver. Our peers are reporting silver equivalents. And for some of those peers, it's lead, it's zinc, you know, maybe it's gold. But for, in the case of Dolly, our numbers stand up with the best, but they're just silver. Now, so one of the differentiators, it's a pure silver play. Okay, we're not relying on byproducts. The other part that separates us from the pack is this is in Canada. This is in BC. This is in the Golden Triangle. This is not in a part of the world where there is contentious elections occurring this Sunday, or you've got to worry about nationalization, or you've got to worry about currency fluctuations. This is in BC. You know, one of the big things for me this year with COVID is, you know, with a lot of my peers who are working down in Brazil, or they're working in Peru or Chile, and they were shut down and they were locked down, you know, we were able to get into our trucks, drive up to site, and explore. And it's one of our competitive advantages, you know, being in Canada, being a pure silver play. So when the market is looking for silver, and a chief investment officer has all this concentration to Mexico, you know, that's too much country risk. And they're going to need the Dolly Varnums. They're going to need the Alexcos. They're going to need the few silver companies that are outside of Chile, Argentina, Mexico, and Peru.
Yeah, resource nationalism does rear its head. Now, you know, some say that BC isn't exactly the easiest place to work either. How's your relationship with First Nations up in the area?
You know, my experience, which is going on 20 years, and it's been mainly focused in Canada. So I've worked in Manitoba, I've worked in Ontario, I've worked in Quebec, I've worked in New Brunswick, I've worked in Nova Scotia. And then I started working in BC in 2018. Okay. I grew up here. I was born and raised here, but I only started working here in 2018. And I'll tell you, it's been the best experience of my life. We've got a government that has, you know, I don't know if you ever saw the Kevin Costner movie, Field of Dreams, but there's a line in there, if you build it, they will come. And that's what the government's done here. They've brought in the infrastructure. We're part of the BC Regional Mining Alliance, okay? We get together with the Nisga, our First Nations partners. First of all, we employ a third of our workforce is from the Nisga. They're our brothers, they're our sisters, they're our friends, and we're doing this together. We just had a call with their leadership on Friday, and we've got a tremendous, tremendous relationship. And actually, you know, one of the examples I'll give you is when COVID first hit last March, it was the Nisga that were calling us saying, hey, we want to get to work. Let's go. Like, you know, how do we do this safely so that our communities are safe and we get to work here? And so we've got just, it's been tremendous. You look at all the mines that are getting permitted now, but you have to know the nuances of the province. You know, BC is a big place. So a mine up near Stewart is different than a mine in Victoria, right? So you got to get the nuances. But no, the Golden Triangle is open for business. It's got 100-year history, and it's going to go on to produce for hundreds of years going forward. And that's how the First Nations are viewing this. They're going, hey, how do we plan for the next three generations? And, you know, some of the big mining companies in the area, like Newcrest and Newmont, they've got that mentality. It's the same mentality at Dolly Varden, where I'm looking at, you know, my kids' kids going, how do we bring good jobs here? And because this area is just, you know, the ice is receding, the infrastructure is now in place, the power is in place, the roads are coming in, and we've got just such a tremendous future ahead of us here, and we've got a dominant land position with endowment.
Yeah, let's talk about that. How close is Dolly Varden to finding a new silver district? What's your exploration potential? Can we be in on, or can we amalgamate M&A, a new district here? Is it possible?
You know, a lot of the participants that are running some of the smaller entities in the area, they're 20 or 30 years my senior. So a lot of them have come to me and asked me to take a leadership role in consolidation. But, you know, M&A is a bit of a black art, and there's a time to do it, and there's a way to do it. And we've signed a lot of confidentiality agreements, but most of them have been with larger entities. You know, I think the one thing that Dolly is missing is cash flow or a royalty. So I'm looking at companies that have that. You know, one of our shareholders, Hecla, has that. So we're looking at this from a standpoint of how do we accretively grow ounces? That's the vision here. You know, it's inventorying of ounces, either through discovery or through acquisition. But we don't want ounces just for the sake of inventory. We want ounces that are going to see daylight. I'm not interested in just putting a billion ounces on the books that'll never be produced. We're trying to run a business that will be profitable at some point here, and so we're only looking for, you know, we've got a very high bar in terms of the types of ounces we want to bring into the company.
You know, the silver price has backed off a bit with the gold price. I think it's due to the economic recovery. You know, COVID, everybody thinks we're coming out of it. I firmly believe, though, that gold and silver are must-own. And historically, when you get into rising metal prices, the best leverage to a rising metal price is a good quality junior. What do you expect for silver and gold this year? Are you as bullish as I am?
You know, for me, I like to start with gold. And from 2013 to 2019, so for 6 years, we were in a range. We'd fallen out of bed there in April of 2015 when we dropped from 1550 down to 1300. And from, you know, basically we were range bound from, call it 1100 to 1300, 1050 to 1400. But anyways, when gold finally broke above that range in May of 2019, that was a very, very, very significant breakout. And within about a year, we saw it move up about 50%. We saw a move from through $1,400 to almost $2,100 an ounce. So we've seen gold lead. Gold's broken out. We've had a correction now since August. Normal correction, a healthy correction. But looking at silver finally broke out last summer. We finally traded above $20. And what did it do? It did exactly what gold did, but instead of it taking, you know, over a year, it did it in a matter of weeks. It went from 20 to 30 in a matter of weeks. And that's how explosive silver is. But for me, you know, my longer term take on silver here is, silver is the only asset class that I follow that hasn't taken out its historic highs. And whether you think that 1980s high was an exaggerated high because of the Hunt situation, well, the 2011 high matched it. So if we focused on the 2011 high, we haven't taken out that $50 price. And it will. And it's just a matter of time. Now, a project like Dolly Varden, we're talking about a company that, you know, at $50 silver, we'd be talking about a $500 million company based on what we have in the ground today. And that's how an investor can go out and they can buy an ounce of silver. They could probably get their hands on an ounce for maybe $30 US. But, you know, and if the price goes to 50, well, you can make $20 on every ounce you buy. But if you buy a stock like Dolly Varden that has 44 million ounces of quality ounces in the ground, you're getting that leverage. So, no, I think it's a given that silver will break out. You know, we've seen the silver to gold ratio go from an exaggerated high of about 125 to 1 a year ago. It's been cut in half. You know, we're in the 60s now. You know, I'm in the camp that I think we're going to see that go to the teens. And I think, you know, I believe in a future with much higher gold prices. And if you look at, you know, like a 20 to 1 silver to gold ratio with higher gold prices, my target for silver is much, much higher. And that's why I'm here. However, the way we try to run the business is focusing on grade. And so this project needs to make sense in an environment that's $20 silver, you know, and we're not building the company for $200 silver. If we were, we'd be going after marginal low-grade ounces, and that's not what we're doing. We're looking for ounces that make sense today. If we get higher prices, that's going to, you know, exaggerate our NPV. The company's got $23 million in the bank, and we're in a position right now where we don't need to go back to market, you know, not this year, not next year, maybe not even the year after that, yet we can be very, very aggressive, and we've got a tremendous property, like you said, has tremendous room for expansion, predictable expansion around past producing mines, but also tremendous blue sky along that potassic alteration zone that extends for 4.5 kilometers. And so we're in a great, you know, strong position here, and we are truly unique in the fact that we're pure silver and the fact that we're in Canada.
Yeah, I find Dolly Varden Silver has offers a lot of leverage. I mean, you've got 44 million ounces in what I believe is a rising silver, you know, precious metal environment because of inflation, money printing, etc. You've also got an awful lot of leverage in the fact that only 3% of your property has been explored in detail, and that leaves tons of upside for shareholders. So, Sean, maybe you could just tell us your contact info, your website, phone number for people who are interested in visiting your website or getting hold of your IR or yourself.
Sure. So you can learn more at dollyvardensilver.com. You can email me at sk@dollyvardensilver.com. We've got a toll-free number, which is 800-321-8564. If you'd like to talk to us or ask us any detailed questions,